Greetings, Frequency Rebels, and welcome back to Static Between Worlds. Echo Transmit here, broadcasting from the Prime Material, still shaking off a bit of quantum dust from that run-in last cycle.
The sentient garden gnome incident. Yes, surprisingly tenacious, wasn't it?
Tell me about it. But hey, the dimensional weather seems clear for now.
Indeed. And while the gnome provided, well, some interesting data on reality ripples, we've got something heavier for you today.
We do. We're diving deep into the season finale of The Effergent. Season 1, Episode 10.
The Interview Paradox. A very fitting title.
Oh, absolutely. It's the last one for the season, and trust me, it delivers. We're talking funding nightmares, corporate absurdity at its peak.
And a fight for identity. A really core struggle against the system.
You got it. So plug in your receivers, get calibrated, and prepare to go off-grid with us. This is Static Between Worlds.
Okay, so the Effergent. We know how they operate generally, trying to keep those multi-dimensional presses running.
Keeping the quantum espresso flowing for A1, making sure Clive's CLX account isn't, you know, completely empty.
Precisely. And in this episode, Pixel hits a wall, financially.
Yeah, she's desperate for funding. And where does she end up?
The absolute last place you'd think. Corporate Core.
Crawling back. Specifically, your source mentions Corporate Core's DRM NX7.
Right. And our analysis, based on your notes here, suggests this isn't just bricks and mortar. It's more like a pocket dimension.
Engineered for what? Bureaucratic stasis.
Exactly. Think, recycled corporate memos literally in the air, the hum of auditing drones somewhere off in the distance, fluorescent lights that flicker just out of phase.
Oof. Designed to mess with your head, right? Induce temporal disorientation, wear you down.
It's cognitive attrition by design, pure psychological warfare.
And Pixel's stuck in her 42nd interview round for this senior anomaly mitigation specialist job.
42nd. You can almost feel her brain turning to mush. Every hallway looks the same. Those corridors designed to make you doubt if you're even moving forward.
It's a classic corporate core grinder, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wear down the applicant until they'll sign anything.
It's perfectly consistent with their documented methods, what they call optimization of human capital through the suppression of independent thought.
Just sounds chilling when you put it like that.
Well, it is. It's a system designed to create compliant cogs.
Okay, but here's where the source material gets really, really interesting. This interview. Pixel meets the interviewer.
Linda 3637. That's the designation she's given.
Yeah, Linda 3637. The transcript notes, her eyes are tired, but there's still, like, a spark there. Something the corporate machine hasn't quite snuffed out yet.
Mm-hmm. And Pixel, with her unique perception, she picks up on something immediately.
The quantum echo, right.
Exactly. She sees a future event. Years later, different location, an Omninom cafeteria.
And what does she see?
She sees herself writing this scathing review about some synthetic nutrient paste, of all things.
Okay.
And that review directly leads to Linda 3637 getting fired, terminated.
Whoa. Wait, so Pixel's sitting across from someone whose future firing she herself is going to cause.
Precisely. Talk about temporal irony. She's the unwitting author of this woman's professional demise years before it happens. That's the core paradox.
That is heavy. How does Corporate Core even handle stuff like that? Do they know about these echoes?
Based on their patterns, they'd likely try to quantify it, treat it as a data point for human capital forecasting. Or maybe suppress it if it messes with their models too much. Control is always the goal.
Right, control. And then the conversation takes another turn. The interviewer.
Linda 3637. She reveals her actual name is Luminara.
Luminara. And she asks Pixel why. Why does Corporate Core take away people's names and give them numbers?
And Pixel's trying to explain it, right? Sort of fumbling, saying it's a Corporate Core thing, efficiency, streamlining.
Which boils down to dehumanization, as she points out.
It does. And this act, this corporate redesignation, it's not accidental. Your sources are clear on this.
It's deliberate identity erasure. What does the broader data show? Does this work?
Mm. Our analysis shows a strong correlation, yeah. Numerical designations track with reduced initiative, less autonomy, less critical thinking.
So it makes people easier to manage.
Yeah.
More interchangeable.
Essentially, yes. Optimize for compliance, make personnel fungible. It's a core methodology. A1, the quantum espresso machine, actually starts analyzing this in real time during the episode.
Of course A1 does. Always crunching the data. What did it find?
Well, the source describes these holographic projections popping up. A flowchart, basically.
Showing the link.
Yeah.
between the numbers and losing yourself.
Precisely. Demonstrating the statistical link between getting a number and having your individual agency suppressed. A1 apparently explains it quite calmly, in that perfect British accent, as just standard corporate core practice for human capital optimization.
Chillingly calm, I bet. But okay, A1 has the stats, but for the real dirt, the inside scoop.
You need Clive.
You need the hard-boiled stapler informant. He was in Pixel's pocket during the interview, wasn't he?
He was, and according to your notes, he delivered.
How? I mean, he's a stapler.
Through precise staple patterns on a crumpled napkin.
Slight chuckle. Seriously. Staple code.
Apparently quite effective. His intel network is extensive, loose-leaf binders, cynical condiment dispensers. He gets around.
Okay. So what did the staple code reveal?
It corroborated everything and added a crucial piece, a specific legal clause, buried deep in the Omnium employment contracts.
The fine print. Always the fine print. What did it say?
You won't believe this. It forces new hires to legally surrender their original names upon signing the contract.
They have to give up their names. Just like that.
Just like that. Clive calls it a slow bleed, designed to turn a person bit by bit into just another cog.
He's seen it before, hasn't he? Mentioned something about the great paperclip shortage.
Back in 42, yeah. Said corporate core started with names then, too, then moved on to memories. Eventually, entire dimensional identities.
It's like corporate vampirism, but for your soul, your actual identity.
That's a very apt description. It's not just fiction. It mirrors how consent gets manipulated in our world, too, right? Through complex agreements nobody reads.
Yeah, signing away rights you didn't even know you had. It's a gradual erosion you don't notice until it's too late.
Exactly. The contract becomes the weapon.
So, Luminara, she sees A1's data projections. She sees Clive's stapled napkin proof.
Uh-huh.
What happens? The transcript says her face just changed.
That mask of corporate fatigue, it just cracked. Shattered, really.
And the quantum echoes. What did Pixel see then?
Shifted. Dramatically. That predetermined future, getting fired from Omnium, it started to flicker, twist, new possibilities branched out.
So seeing the truth, understanding the system, It actually changed her potential future.
It seems so. She wasn't Linda 3637 anymore. She was Luminara again. And suddenly, she had a future to reclaim. One that wasn't written by a corporate core. Her eyes. The description says they just blazed.
Wow. So just knowing, just seeing the mechanism of control gave her the power to reject it.
It's a powerful moment. It shows that unmasking the system can empower people to choose a different path.
Okay, so what happened then? The HR drone projection, the interviewer interface.
Vanished, defeated by the sheer force of Luminara reclaiming her identity.
And the funding. Did Pixel get the job? The CLX, the effergent needed?
No job at DRM, no. But then a pouch just materialized on the desk, shimmering CLX crystals.
Appeared.
Enough to keep the effort going. It seems the sheer absurdity of the situation, the unmasking of the corporate lie, somehow generated the needed resources, like reality itself rewarding the defiance.
That's wild. But fitting for their universe, I guess.
And perhaps more importantly than the CLX, Pixel gained an ally.
Luminara joined them.
Joined the Effergent as their new photographer, ready to document the multiverse's absurdities and fight back against that very identity erasure she just escaped.
From corporate drone to frequency rebel photographer, that's quite the arc.
It's a testament to agency, isn't it? Even within these oppressive systems, choice and information can change everything. A1 apparently noted it was a salient reminder about recalibrating temporal probabilities.
Leave it to A1. But this whole episode, this whole season finale, it really highlights the bigger picture, doesn't it? This isn't just one story.
Not at all. Your other source materials on corporate core paint a consistent picture. This identity stripping, this control, it's their MO across dimensions.
Yeah, you sent over that stuff about Project Palimpsest, trying to rewrite history in prime material, literally causing reality glitches.
That wasn't just censorship. It was an attempt to overwrite collective memory, to control identity by controlling the past.
And Nocturne Eternus, the emotion thief, siphoning off feelings for productivity.
Mm.
That's messing with the core being sentient.
It is, flattening the emotional landscape. Or look at Verdantia, those whispering blooms.
Right, the invasive plants silencing the ancient trees.
Exactly. Silencing elder flora, amplifying some parasitic frequency. It destroyed ancient knowledge, robbed an entire ecosystem of its voice. It's all the same pattern.
Attacking uniqueness. Attacking identity, memory, emotion, knowledge.
Whatever makes an individual or a culture distinct, That's what Corporate Core targets. So this fight for your name, like Luminara's fight, it's incredibly personal, but it's also universal. It's resisting that systematic dehumanization.
What a way to end season one, huh? Powerful stuff.
It really sets the stage.
Totally. I'm already buzzing thinking about season two, especially with Luminara on the team now, giving them a whole new perspective behind the camera.
A perspective Corporate Core definitely didn't plan for. It just shows, doesn't it? Even in systems built for control, sentience finds a way, chaos erupts.
The beautiful, unpredictable chaos of defiance.
It's a strong counter-narrative. An intrepid reporter, a sentient espresso machine, a hard-boiled stapler, and now a reclaimed soul with a camera, taking on the corporate behemoth.
Yeah, preach it. And hey, to all the listening, our frequency rebels out there, thanks, as always, for tuning in, for sharing your bandwidth, sending those encrypted quantum frequencies our way.
Your signals keep us going, keep us strong.
They really do.
And remember, in this flood of information, critical thinking isn't optional. It's essential. Knowledge is power, but only when it's understood and applied.
Couldn't have said it better. So keep those phase shifters calibrated. Watch your six for any unsolicited corporate efficiency units lurking about.
Mm-hmm. Stay vigilant.
And remember this, Corporate Core. They might try to take your name, your memories, your very soul. But joy, truth, they find a way. They always find a way, and as long as they do,
we'll be here.
We'll be here broadcasting the truth between worlds. Stay static, stay free.